Now, this hour, let's look at 1 Corinthians and the New Testament. If you turn with me in your Bibles, the 1 Corinthians, we are looking, going to focus on verse 10 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the Corinthians. Then he says here in verse 10, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, it's an amazing letter that we have here in the New Testament. I think most Christians are familiar with that for the reason for all the problems that the church had faced. If we ask anybody, well, would you like to be in a church like this? And definitely they would say no. Nobody will have an enthusiasm to apply for a membership in a church like this. It had, you name it, enormous problems that the church faced. And the Apostle Paul had the, I'm going to say a privilege, but a difficult task in dealing with these issues and counseling these people so that they can walk with the Lord according to His Word. Now, Paul has not given up his hope yet, because you know in the passage he still considers them as saints, as Christians. Some of us may not go to that extent to call them saints if we're reading it, but he is a man who worked and labored in Corinth. He had a hand in it in establishing this work. He knew the people, so still he hoped that things can be turned around for better. And he continues to call them as saints. In verse 2, "The church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." And that's what he says about the church. But look at the problems that they had. Here, the first chapter itself, there's a party spirit in the church. And some were said that they are of Paul's party, the others Peter's party. And he had some smart, clever people who said they're Jesus' party. That we are not going to be under the men of the world, but we would only accept the leadership from Christ Himself and revelation from Christ. And they were also saying that we were baptized by this one and that one. Now, the Apostle Paul has been very patient and extremely patient and in explaining to them that it is not done in Christ's church. You can't have party spirit. And he says that he can't even remember that how many people he baptized, that he's not willing to name them either. That's not the only issue. As you continue to look at, and they also had difficulties in other issues, there's immorality in the church. There was a man who is blatantly sinning against God by living with his stepmother. And doesn't seem that anybody cared. Where is discipline, biblical church discipline? What were the elders doing, the people were doing? It seemed to be that they have just overlooked it and ignoring it, not doing anything. And Paul had to handle that issue as well. And as we go on, there were also the issue of people taking brethren to courts. They had problem with one another, so they wanted to settle the matter in the Gentile courts, taking to the world to solve their problems, and they didn't think it is not right to do. And Paul had to deal with that. Then also, they were not considerate to one another. There were people who are weaker brethren in the church. They had issues of whether they should eat meat or food that offered to idols or not. And here others were not caring. They were not sympathetic. They were not acting in a manner that is worthy of the gospel, inconsiderate to their brethren. Well, it continues. All these issues continue. Then you come to these spiritual gifts. It's a church that was blessed with spiritual gifts. And they were lacking understanding in how they should use these spiritual gifts for the benefit of the body. And they failed miserably in that area. They were competing with one another in the church. They were making the public worship of God a mockery. And Paul says, if a non-Christian walks into your congregation, that he should recognize that God is in the midst of you and he should fall flat to worship God and to give praise to him. But you are acting in such a way, if such a person comes to your congregation, he's going to call you as a madhouse. That rather I would be better with the people of the world. And what a terrible testimony. That means that they were adulterating God's word and the very worship of God. These were the people of God who were doing that. And there is competition going on as far as the spiritual gifts were concerned. Well, the Apostle Paul had to deal with that as well. There was also the doctrinal issues concerning the resurrection of Christ. Arguments regarding that, and some have fallen into wrong teaching. So if you really sit down and take down all these issues and difficulties that were present in the church, now it is going to be absolutely hard for anyone to deal with them. The Apostle Paul, with a great hope, he writes this letter to them. Now, how do you, in the midst of all these difficulties and the problems that were in the church, present in the church, how is he going to address them? How is he going to figure out what was it that is causing these issues? What solution is he going to give to these people? Now, if you have a problem, or a medical problem, or a physical issue, you go to the doctor. Well, he will sit with you and ask all sorts of questions. At least the New Zealand doctors would do that. He will ask, you need to answer those questions, and you need to carefully give those answers because he's going to determine what the problem that you are having so that he can diagnose it wisely and prescribe the medication that is needed. And Paul will have to do the same here. It's not one or two or three or four issues, but there were many and numerous. The apostle had a great, difficult task in his hand. Now, I think it is amazing that in the very beginning of this epistle, Paul puts the finger at the right place that he identifies the issue. And here in verse 10, he says, now this is the problem. The basic problem. What is it? In verse 10, he says that you all speak the same thing, that you do not speak the same thing. You must, as people of God, you must speak with one voice and one mind and a heart the same thing, that you don't do that. You have failed to recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. You have failed to recognize your place in the body of Christ. You do not speak the same thing. You have not learned to cultivate this having one mind and heart and speaking as one people. Though you are individuals, many individuals in the congregation, but you do not speak the same thing. So he's encouraging them to do that. He goes on to elaborate about it, what it is. And if you read further, it says that if you do speak the same thing, then that there won't be any divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So he says in the opening, on the line of the verse, that you need to speak the same thing. Then he, in a different words, explains the same thing later on, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. It's putting the same thing in a different way, that you are to have same mind. That how is it possible? We all of us here, how is it possible to have the same mind? We are all different. We are all made different. We have different interests, different desires, and so on. How is it possible for all of us to speak the same thing, think about the same thing, as one people, to be one-minded and to be on one accord? And Paul says that you need to be perfectly joined together in this thing. They did not have it. They never seriously thought about it. They didn't cultivate that in the church. They took things for granted. They became individuals, thought about themselves. They completely forgot the serious duty that is before them as a church, which we can see the results of that. The church was in a big mess. The pastor told me that, reading all these things, that this is how the church is going to be in this world. This is how the church is going to be in the world. And I thought, really? If this is how the church is going to be in the world, why waste our time trying to plant churches and build churches? These are not minor issues, minor differences. They are major problems. Immorality, doctrinal issues, there's no unity, party spirit. They didn't even understand who Christ is. Is he divided, says Paul? Now, how can the church in the world be like this? Now, Paul didn't think that that is how the church should be in the world. If that is the case, he wouldn't write this letter to this church. He says it is absolutely wrong. And I consider you people as Christ's people. You are saints. You are God's people. But this is not the way one should behave. Church is not supposed to be like this. The church is supposed to reflect heaven on earth. That's our business. We are so unique. We are so different to any other organizations in the world. And the people come in, when they see us, when they see us worshiping, and by looking at our conduct, and they need to ask questions. Now, how are you able to behave like this? What is it that changed you? Those are the questions they need to ask. We are to be different in the world. We are to make people recognize there are some changes that have taken place in us. And the reason for that is God. It is Jesus Christ who has entered into our life. It is Christ who has transformed us, and it's Christ who makes us to think this way and to act this way. And that's what should happen. So we are to reflect heaven in some way, the heaven in this world. I think the church is failing in that. It has become a mere community center. It is just like any other organization with the name church tagged to it. Now, that's not what the church is supposed to be. We have a glorious task in our hands to be a glorious people representing Jesus Christ through our life and witness. We are different. So this is not the way any church should be. That is completely wrong to interpret this book in that way. So Paul has identified the issue, and he says, well, you need to learn to speak the same thing. Now, this is not the only place he says that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, you have the same thing that Paul says there in verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Is exactly the same thing. Be of one mind. You are many people, many individuals, but you need to act like one body and having one mind and speaking the same thing. We have, if you turn with me in your New Testament to the Philippians, we have great examples of that. And Paul here giving Christ himself as an example concerning this very thing that we are talking about, that speaking the same thing and having that one mind. Now, he uses beautiful terms in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 3, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others." Now notice he says in verse 3, in verse 2, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded." This is another way of putting it. He said, speak the same thing, be of one mind, and he says, be like-minded. That's what it is about, be like-minded. We all need to have the same mindedness, same way of thinking and speaking as a people of God with one voice. Now notice also in verse 20, in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 20, and Paul here says in verse 19, read from verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." Now Paul wants to be with these people and help these people, care for these people. He desires to minister to these people and to contribute to their spiritual welfare. And now Paul can't go there. And he's thinking about, who can I send? Who is able to do or to give that same care to these people like I myself would do? He says Timothy comes to his mind. "For I have no one like-minded." Now these two men were thinking alike. They are the same minded. And they spoke the same thing. That's what Paul says. Timothy is one I consider to be a like-minded person. He will sincerely care for your state. Now, putting all these verses together, you get the idea what it is. That we as Christians in the church, we are to have that same mindedness, united to the body of Christ. But here in this world, we are to be united to one another under Christ, to have that same mindedness, one accord, one mind, and speaking the same thing. Like-mindedness. That's what Paul is saying. You don't have it. You have completely neglected that. You did not consider your place in the body of Christ. How can you be like that? Now, if you follow this, there's no place for division, he says. He says that if you are like-minded, then there would be no room for divisions. If you are like-minded, you would be considerate. If you are like-minded, you will put your brother above yourself rather than seeking your own interests. Now, isn't that just think about it. There is a queue waiting and for the food. So who goes first? Everybody is going to be, no, you go first. And you go first. Well, that's going to get cold. it's humility gone overboard. That's the idea. To be of one mindedness, giving preference to others than to your own opinion, your own ideas. To be considerate and thinking about other person than about yourself. Having like mindedness. Now, these people completely forgot that. And all sorts of problems entered into the church because they did not act and behave like Christians. Now, we live in an existentialist postmodern society, community. In your country, they are in New Zealand. Now, being like-minded is not that postmoderns like. You are to be different. That's what it teaches. You must be different. You must think for yourself. And if you have 30 people, and we need to have 30 views, 30 different views. Children will be taught in school. You look at a picture, everybody can see, oh, I can see a mountain there, and I can see a tree, and I can see a house. Well, the second person, well, I see the same thing. How can you do that? But you are supposed to see it different. You got to learn to see it different. That's exactly is taught out there. As postmodern, look at the problems we are going to have. If Christians entertain that kind of a thinking, the scripture teaches, now that is absolutely rubbish. We are to be of same minded. Speak the same thing as a people of God. We are different. The community will keep changing. Its thinking patterns will be changing. And after 20 years, there will be something new. And I'm sure the postmodernism will die down and something else will come. History proves that. We are not to follow that. We are the redeemed people of God. We do have the scriptures we are to follow. We are not to entertain the thinking of the world. And that will ruin us. That will ruin the church. Well, people today entertain these things. We are to keep changing our doctrines. Keep changing our beliefs. We are to think differently. Have things new. No, that's not what God's word teaches. We are to speak the same thing. Now, there is a problem. How do we do that? How is it possible? How is it possible? How can it be? I said earlier, we are all different. Brought up in a different backgrounds, how is it possible to think alike and to speak with one voice and nobody is going to differ? People would say, well, this guy is an authoritarian. That's what he wants. He wants everybody to speak in the same way, think in the same way. Nobody should quarrel with him or his ideas. All have to be in the same act and speak in the same way. Well, that's not what it is. There are things that we can differ on. Now, what do you want to wear? That is up to you. You have a Christian liberty over that matter. What kind of a food you want to eat? That is up to you. God is not demanding us to eat the same thing. Variety of food, that is all up to us, according to our liberty in Christ. Same way, what we want to wear, what kind of a job we need to have, how many children you want to have. Nobody can dictate to you about that. You're all going to be different than that. But we are to be one in the things of God and the things that we believe. We need to speak with one voice. Just imagine, as a church here, that you are a Reformed Baptist Church and all the members start believing all sorts of things in membership. If you have a freedom is given to you, well, you can hold on to whatever you want to believe. That'll be disastrous. You can't be a church. A church got to believe in the same thing. Whatever that the church stands for, and those are the things for which the members should stand for. They should be convinced of those and they should believe in those. They must speak on those things. There should never be a doctrinal indifference or differences among members. They are to hold to the same belief and same faith. Now, this church didn't have that. It didn't have that. They just simply fail to maintain that. A fundamental issue that they failed. And it caused all sorts of problems. People do not appreciate being like-minded today. It's not only a problem with the kind of postmodernism we encounter, but also in the church. And that is terrible. There is beauty in unity. And Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 4. He speaks about unity. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's very clear. It doesn't need a detailed exposition. It's very simple. And there is clear, his language is clear. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You want unity, you must hold to the same thing together as a church. It is only then that you are going to honor Christ. Practically, you need to believe the same thing. You need to hold on to the same thing. You need to be passionate about it. You need to promote that which you believe. Well, if you don't hold to that, how can you ever have a biblical ministry in the church? Everybody will be quarreling, right? Yeah. Everybody will not appreciate. There will be problems. And a people of God holding on to the same thing, speaking with one voice, believing the same thing, will make the pulpit ministry better. Because that's what you are going to crave after. You are going to go after. That will exalt the pulpit ministry and every teaching ministry in the church. You are not going to look for something different because you are one-minded, same-minded as Paul says. People will not entertain anything new that is walking around in the society out there. People will then be able to examine anything new that comes in the name of Christ. You hold to the same thing, believe in the same thing, then you will be in a position to examine everything, throw that which is bad and hold on to that which is right. It is believing in the same thing, in the things of God, that is going to have and for us to experience greater unity, greater love between brethren, and greater fellowship between brethren. So Paul is clear about it. He's identified the problem here. And he's encouraging, warning these people. Now get back into order. You need to speak with the one voice that you are failing to do that. If only if they had considered that and all these problems would have been sorted out. What a wonderful teaching that we have. Yes, we need to have a same belief in all the people of God in the church, in the same way in our practice as well. All that we practice, it comes from the things we believe. People today, the world is crazy going after same-sex marriage in your nation, in our nation, and all around, because they want that. They believe in that, so they want that practice. It is only what we believe is going to make us to practice the same. So you can't separate doctrine from practice. The doctrinal beliefs that we have will determine our practice, either in worship, our own life, in our Christian conduct, even as a community, in our mission work, in our evangelism, in Christian service. All these are going to be determined by the things that we hold on to and believe with one mind and one heart. And that is where the true unity, the true love and fellowship can be seen. It is there that we can see Christ walking in the midst of those people. Well, how many of us and how many churches do recognize that? These people didn't have any regard for Christ or His church. They're willing to fade it out, ignoring what a glorious divine organization that the church is in this world. They were willing to break into pieces But Paul says that is a terrible sin that you hold on to the same thing, speak the same thing, be like-minded. That is where the joy is, brethren. That is where true unity and fellowship. Somebody asked me today, now you come all the way from New Zealand. How many hours is the flight? And all these things, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Well, I have only one answer. Surely I wouldn't be wasting my energy or my time or even the funds that God provides to go somewhere that you are not going to appreciate or you are not appreciated, where there is no true love and affection, that warmth and fellowship. The reason I come is this is where I have that true fellowship, the true unity, like-mindedness, able to speak with brethren the same language and understand that language. And what an exciting, great experience it is. Now that's what is to have heaven in this world. This is what we are going to be. There's not going to be party spirit in heaven. There's not going to be any fighting in heaven. No quarreling and nothing. Now, if we cannot experience heaven here, what heaven are we talking about? And this here, we need to experience that. We need to rejoice in that. We need to delight in that. We need to look forward to more. So Paul says, speak the same thing, that you be perfectly joined together. That's beautiful. You know how our bodies are put together? It's marvelous, isn't it? We don't take time to examine everything. But it's all put together marvelously and wonderfully by God. You know, if you are to do it, then you will mess it up. But it is each of our bodies all beautifully works. And look at it, how precise. You know, the surgeons, when they work on the body, they marvel at God's wisdom and God's creative work in our body. And that's the language here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the analogy of the body. It is perfectly joined together. God wants you to be perfectly joined together. Not one part in the body is in out of place. A person can be born deformed. We understand that. But in most of our bodies, this everything is perfectly joined together. The blood goes into every part. Every part receives what it needs and it functions in unison. Even as I speak, I don't even think about the movement of my body, my lips and my mind, everything working together in unison, perfectly joined together. And Paul says that's what ought to be in the church. It's perfectly joined together. And God wants to see that in the church. Brethren, it is amazing what Paul is writing here. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. We are to individually work towards that. We have a responsibility as individuals to make sure that we contribute to this, that which is Paul is demanding, that speaking the same thing, being perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Do we do that, brethren? We need to do that. We need to strengthen the fellowship that we have, the love that we do have for one another, that unity that we already experienced. We need to strengthen it. And the church, which does that, it moves forward. It begins to experience more of heaven in this world and where else you want to be. That's beautiful and wonderful, isn't it? That's where the church is different than any other organization. It's Christ walking in the midst of that church. People being conscious of their relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. They're being conscious of their place in the body of Christ and considering his brother and sister as their body parts and loving together in that harmony, in that love and unity. Well, it sounds like the Corinthians have got the message, because we see in the 2 Corinthians things are beginning to get better. That's wonderful. Well, we don't need to think that church is going to be messy in the world. Paul gives us an answer to sort out all sorts of messiness. This is what we need. That is what needs to be promoted among brethren. But this kind of a unity, this kind of a love and the same-mindedness will never be there when we have differences, opinions about what we believe and differences, opinion about what we practice. It only can be when we hold together the things that we believe with one mind and one heart. And I think that was truly wonderful. May God bless you to have and to experience that kind of love and unity and fellowship in your midst. And may we pray that before even we get to heaven, that we will enjoy that here. Experience and enjoy that here. So we can look forward to more in the presence of God in the days to come. Well, let's pray.